Fayette is fortunate to have a local FM radio station, KPIP, which is the flagship program of a nonprofit organization, International Educational Resources for Rural Missouri, or IERRM, whose mission is to cultivate and nurture community educational radio in and around Fayette. In addition to offering content developed elsewhere, KPIP is proud to feature local programming and look to area residents to offer their perspectives on topics of interest to them and their friends and neighbors. The following programming does just this as it engages local citizenry, who are the experts on the area's history because they have lived it. This series is called Howard County Remembers and builds on work done when the county celebrated its 200th birthday in 2016. That year, a fine publication entitled Howard County, Missouri, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries, was released. This radio series embellishes on the extensive information contained in that book, which may be found at the Howard County Public Library. To back up, though, the genesis of these programs was inspired by this year's celebration of the state's bicentennial. While Howard County was organized by an act of the General Assembly of the Territory of Missouri in 1816, it was followed 5 years later in 1821 when Missouri was recognized as a state by the United States Congress, making 2021 Missouri's bicentennial year. We decided to tie together these two historically close occasions by focusing on aspects of Howard County's history and keep these in KPIP archives, as well as offer audios of the broadcast to the State of Missouri Historical Society to keep in its archives. The following program is entitled A Brief History of Morrison Observatory. It was written and directed by Dr. Kendall Clark, professor of physics at CMU and curator of the observatory, which is located north of the Fayette City Park. My name is David Holman, and I produced and narrated it. I am a retired mental health counselor who lives in Fayette and volunteers at KPIP on several capacities, including an on-air announcing and providing technical support for other volunteers. This audio program was extracted from a fine video by the same name, which listeners may access on YouTube. That video contains photos of the important men and women who contributed to the creation and early maintenance of the observatory, along with other shots that reflect the time and place in history of those events. For those interested in visiting the observatory, normally there are regular evening programs at the observatory that are open to the public, often attracting 40 to 50 visitors. Of necessity, these were suspended during the pandemic, but will resume sometime in the near future. To find out about these, call 660-248-6797. Missouri and the United States was very different in the 1800s. Missouri was an agricultural state in which few people had an education beyond grade school. There were no paved roads, and the centers of commerce were located along the Missouri River. The major rivers were the highways, and Glasgow was a thriving center of commerce, and the river bottom land along the Missouri River was great for agriculture. Because of Glasgow's location along the river, Pritchett Institute, a private school that provided high school and some college education to the wealthy, began in 1866 with Carr Waller Pritchett serving as the first president. He received most of his training in astronomy at the Observatory of Harvard College in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There he formed lasting friendships with William and George Bond, Asaph Hall,
Benjamin Pierce, and other distinguished astronomers. Carr Pritchett planned to build an observatory in Glasgow, Missouri, and in preparation for this, ordered an 8-inch lens from Alvin Clark in 1867. But in 1870, Pritchett had to cancel his order due to lack of funds. The finished 8-inch lens was sold to the Harvard Observatory and installed in their Meridian Circle. It was not until 1874 that Pritchett's dream of an observatory in Glasgow started to become a reality. While observing Coggia's comet with Dr. Pritchett, Bernice Morrison pledged $100,000 to build the observatory in Glasgow. That same year, Pritchett delivered $6,000 in gold to Alvin Clark to purchase the 12 and 1/4 inch lens. The Morrison family was wealthy and had business enterprises both in Glasgow and St. Louis. When the family was in St. Louis, Mrs. Morrison would often stay with the Pritchetts. She was fond of astronomy and went to Europe, which was the center of learning and science at that time. As a young woman, she convinced her family to provide the money so Carr Pritchett could establish an observatory in Glasgow. The Morrison Observatory was founded in 1875 as a part of Pritchett Institute. In 1875, 1 year after purchasing the telescope, George and Alvin Clark traveled to Glasgow to mount the new telescope in the dome of the newly built observatory that Dr. Pritchett had modeled after the observatory at Harvard. While setting up the telescope, the Clarks observed a close double star, 78 Pegasi, with the newly built telescope. The telescope at the Morrison Observatory is a refracting telescope using a large lens, 12 1/4 inch in diameter, to gather and focus light. There were quite a few 12-inch telescopes in use at the time. The extra 1/4 inch made this the 7th largest telescope in the U.S. and certainly the largest west of the Mississippi at that time. The lens was ground by hand by the Clark family, and their craftsmanship is still presently unrivaled. The telescope was constructed on site and is housed in a 17-foot-long tube. It is mounted on an equatorial mount so it can access any part of the sky. Everything was hand-operated in the observatory when it was located in Glasgow. The telescope tracking was driven by a series of falling weights, and the dome was hand-cranked to allow viewing of different parts of the sky. The observatory was used almost entirely for research during Carr Pritchett's lifetime. Pritchett and his sons, Carr W. Pritchett Jr. and Henry S. Pritchett, used the observatory to make a number of observations. One of the most noted is the observation and study of the Great Red Spot on Jupiter. There is strong evidence that Carr Waller Pritchett Sr. was the first to see and study the Great Red Spot on Jupiter. He also studied double stars, comets, and sunspots. Dr. Pritchett was made a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society for this study of Jupiter. A year after the observatory was founded, George Clark returned to Glasgow to install a 6-inch Meridian Circle telescope. It's similar to instruments at observatories of the period like the U.S. Naval Observatory that was located in Washington, D.C. The Meridian Transit Telescope is a 6-inch telescope and only works along the north-south direction, which is the meridian. The telescope was manufactured in England by instrument makers Troughton and Sims. It was used to make very precise measurements of star positions to help provide information on how fast stars move. The telescope is precisely laid out north and south and is provided with sighting telescopes to check the alignment. It also has finely engraved dials and a series of microscopes to read the dials for precision. A meridian transit was also used to determine the time by noting when a star would cross the meridian. Our current system of standard time was adopted in 1875 by an international convention. This was done primarily for ships at sea and for railroads. Ships at sea needed precise time for navigation, and railroads needed precise time so that trains operating on a single track would not collide. During this time period, local observatories provided a time standard and sold this to subscribers. This provided a source of revenue for observatories. The transit telescope, together with a chronograph built by Alvin Clark, allowed the observatory to sell the time to the Chicago and Alton Railroad and to control the dropping of time balls in Kansas City and St. Louis. The Morrison Observatory provided time signals to much of the Midwest and periodically broadcast a time signal by telegraph to railroads and others who subscribed to the service. In 1904, Carr Waller Pritchett resigned as observatory director due to his failing health, and in 1906 he died. His work was carried on by his sons, but within a short period of time, the poor financial condition of the Pritchett School caused the observatory to be virtually abandoned. The Pritchett Academy went bankrupt shortly after, and the school closed in 1922. The observatory equipment was left to fall into disrepair, and income from the observatory endowment was used to fund the Glasgow Public Schools. By 1926, the observatory had deteriorated to the point where chickens were roosting in the dome, and wasps had made nests on both sides of the great 12 1/4-inch Clark lens. The heirs of the Morrison family and Central College at that time sued Glasgow in 1926 over the observatory. Central College prevailed in the lawsuit and gained possession of the observatory. Henry S. Pritchett, one of Carr Pritchett's sons who was head of the Carnegie Foundation, led a drive to raise funds to build a new observatory in Fayette to house the Clark telescope and the other astronomical equipment. He was quickly able to raise $25,000 to put toward the building of a new observatory in Fayette. Land was donated in the country near Fayette, and the current observatory building was built in 1935. The observatory dome was cut into two pieces in order to transport it to Fayette. The dome and the telescopes were moved over mud roads to its present location. An account of the new location of the observatory states it stands upon a high, unobstructed ridge on 7 acres within a 10-minute walk of Central College. The new building was dedicated in 1936 with a lecture given by Dr. Harlow Shapley entitled Exploring Outer Darkness. Since the observatory was moved to Fayette, it has been used primarily for college courses and to provide an observatory experience for the public. The telescope went through a restoration in 1961 with a complete disassemble and cleaning of the objective lens. The process was followed step by step in the August issue of Sky and Telescope magazine. Over the course of a year, many hundreds of visitors tour the observatory. The public outreach is provided at no charge, and Central Methodist University is one of the few observatories in the state to provide this type of access. The public program is possible because of donations of time and money by both visitors and volunteers. The Central Missouri Astronomical Association, which was founded in the classroom of the Morrison Observatory in 1949, is of great assistance in maintaining and promoting the observatory. Telescope technology changed dramatically in the early 1900s. Scientists developed new ways to make high-quality mirrors by evaporating aluminum onto glass. This made it possible to build very large telescopes, which dwarfed the Clark 12 1/4-inch telescope. But still, to this day, there is something about a large lens refracting telescope that gives great views of planets. This, coupled with the history of the Clark telescope, makes it a treasure of Central Methodist University and Mid-Missouri. Since credit goes to the Morrison Observatory for studying the Great Red Spot of Jupiter so extensively, let's listen to Gustav Holst's The Planets, Movement 4, Jupiter, the Bringer of Jollity, electronically performed in 1976 by Isao Tomita. Thank you. That's it for now. Tune in for other announcements and discussions right here on Community Voices at KPIPLP Fayette 94.7.